When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Alrighty, welcome to the Viking Age Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Patrick. Today, our normal host, Chris Shad, is off. He's actually in my neck of the woods in San Diego, checking out the Padres and Twins. But he's off, so I'm in the host seat today. And with Chris off, we have a guest on today's show. Now, you've probably come across a few of his posts on Twitter about the Vikings. Happy, sad, distressed. You know, you've probably seen him. If you don't follow him already or you haven't heard him on his still relatively new podcast with co-host Brevin Bain, titled The Skullshell Network. I'm of course, speaking of Mr. Jason Harmon, who is kind enough to talk some Vikings with us today on the show. So welcome to the show, Jason.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
No problem. Before we get into anything, just go ahead and tell people where they can follow you on social media and where they can subscribe to your podcasts and anything else you want to promote.
Yeah, let me remember my TikTok. I don't really use my Instagram for content. I'm going to make a separate one. I had some Lions fans find my personal Instagram, which was fun when you have a newborn baby. But on Twitter, which is where I do most of my stuff, it's _Jason_777. Not really football related, just what I had. And I just turned into a football account. So I don't have the NFL in my name like you. I always get jealous when I see it. I'm like, man, I wish I thought of that. I wish I did that early on. And then TikTok just @Jason777, but instead of an S, it's a Z, because again, I never knew I was going to be doing mostly Viking stuff. So I should have thought about that ahead of time.
I mean, you can switch your handle, I think.
I think on TikTok. On Twitter, it's a little weird because if you do the verification, it to review your account. I added my last name back and it was like 4 days where it was like under review. And I was like, I'm not applying for like a hunting license or something. This is crazy. I don't know.
You're trying to get 4 million views so you can get $5.
Dude, oh, gotta love it.
Alrighty, so go check out all that stuff. You got his podcast on
on YouTube. It's on the Vikes Now YouTube. Yeah. They were kind enough to bring us on. Right now it's weekly, but once we figure out our schedules during the regular season, should be more frequent. That's basically as much as I can commit to.
For sure. Alright, we'll just get right into it, since there's a lot to talk about, even though the Vikings haven't really, been doing much since their preseason game. Because, they signed Stephon Gilmore, which we will talk about in a little bit. And, that was exciting. Everyone was happy. But then the football gods were like, all right, that's enough happiness. We're going to, put you back down. And we're going to, have Tua bash Brian Flores, because it hasn't happened in a while. So that's what we're going to do. So Vikings defensive coordinator Brian Flores is back in the news, and it has nothing to do with the Vikings. So Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa. I just call him
Tagovailoa. I think.
Yeah, I know how to spell it. I'm proud of myself because I know how to spell it without spell check. So I'm happy with that. But Tua was interviewed by Dan Le Batard earlier this week, I believe yesterday, and during the interview, he referred to Brian Flores, who is also the former Dolphins head coach, as a terrible person, and essentially claimed that Flores would tell him all the time that he sucked and he shouldn't even be on the team. But today Flores spoke. He did his typical weekly presser with the Vikings media out there today, and he actually did respond. Some people thought he might not, and they'll just take the high road or whatever, but Flores did respond. So in response to Tua labeling him a terrible person, Flores said the following. He said, quote, look, I'm human, so that hit me in a way that wasn't positive for me. But at the same time, I've got to use that and say, hey, how can I grow from that? How can I be better? And that's really where I'm at from that standpoint. Do I feel like that's me? No. But how can I grow from that situation and create a world where that's not the case that anyone says that about Brian Flores? And then he talked about also his current approach to coaching, saying, quote, "I think part of coaching is correcting. I'm always going to correct. I'm always going to have a high standard. And I think, look, I've done a lot of reflecting on the situation, reflecting on the situation and communication. I think there's things that I could do better for sure. And I've grown in that way. And I've tried to apply the things that I could do better and the things that I've learned over the last 2-3 years. So, Jason, how do you think Flores handled this sudden explosion of everyone hating him again on Tuesday?
Yeah, I remember this coming out, like, parts of it at least a while ago, and then it really hit the fan this week. But
yeah.
I first off want my defensive minded head coach slash current defensive coordinator to hate every quarterback, including his own. So I'm fine with it. He didn't deny it, but like,
right.
I firmly believe with like that type of language, it was probably something more in the middle where it was a lot of criticism and pointing out flaws. Do I think he flat out said he sucked? I maybe in a game situation. I haven't seen the text, right? I think he handled it as well as he could have. What I'll say is the biggest thing to me is either one, it happened and he's grown a ton, or two, again, some version happened that's a lot more mild than maybe what Tua was putting out. Because, and I loved that this happened, but Harrison Phillips and Josh Metellus coming out with him, but like, they didn't even need to do that. Right. I think that was more for kind of fans throughout the league to see, because all of us who are diehard Vikings fans, we know everyone on that team loves B-Flow,
right?
Like a ton. Like when Mekhi Blackman got hurt, one of the first things he said was, "Harry better not retire and B-Flow better come back," because he's out for the year and he specifically wanted to play with those two guys. Was it an issue at the time? Potentially. Again, it depends on the actual truth. Is it an issue anymore? No. Selfishly, I want us to give him a pay raise because he deserves it. But I also know, as much as I want to see him become a NFL head coach for his own benefit, because I love the guy, maybe this helps us keep him around a little longer. So you take the good with the bad. I just hope his reputation, you know, if he does want to become a head coach again, I hope he gets that chance, because you hope that for all your coordinators, no matter how badly you'd hate to see him go. But I think it's non-news now. I also think, you know, B-Flow was learning coaching in a time where things were different. The players were different. The culture was different, both in general and in the NFL. And I think guys like Kevin O'Connell and McDaniels, like those are guys who maybe are more part of that new culture where coach them up, hold them to a high accountability, but maybe in more of a I'm your bro type of way. I don't think the Belichick Patriot way was being passed down that way to B-Flow.
No, and we saw that from Zimmer too. So like kind of a very similar situation happened with Kirk Cousins, but you know, Kirk Cousins is
and not Kyle Slaughter. I'm sure. I'm curious.
Yeah,
different levels of like expectations.
Yeah, Slaughter's been a little more vocal, while Cousins has been like, whatever, it happened. But yeah, it was interesting because, like, you know, I know Tua was asked this question by Dan Lombatard, so he didn't really go out of his way to bash Brian Flores, but he also didn't hold back with his answer.
Yeah, I think that's
he could have done the like the cliche, the past is in the past, and I'm focused on the future answer, but he was just like, no, this guy told me I was terrible. He sucked. You know, there was rumors that he wanted Justin Herbert instead of Tua. But I mean, you look back, Tua was a rookie. He missed a bunch of time, you know, to injuries. So he wasn't too reliable those first 2 years. You know, and Brian Flores was also trying to focus on the defense. So he's just like, you know, now I got to monitor this kid and help him when I got to monitor the defense. It's just, there's a lot, I think, that we don't know. And like this whole Tua thing this week is very, it seems very one-sided, because you go on ESPN and they're like, oh, Brian Flores, like just how
awful
could he,
person.
How could he do this? ESPN, I think it was Get Up, and they had like 3 or 4 former players on. I'm like, you know, I wonder why they didn't have Rex Ryan or Herm Edwards on there, to, you know, give the coach's perspective, but you know, that's that. But yeah, I think it's fair to say that, you know, some of this stuff probably, you know, there's truth to all rumors. We've heard someone say that before.
Oh, don't remind me. PTSD, dude.
And then, you know, so some of this stuff might have happened. Some of it didn't. Some of it gets exaggerated and blown out of proportion. But like Brian Flores said, you know, he's trying to learn. He was with Mike Tomlin in 2022, and now he's with Kevin O'Connell. And to be fair to him, he was with Bill Belichick for like over a decade. So like he saw what the approach that Bill Belichick took with his coaching, and that produced Super Bowl wins. So, like, he's looking at it like, this works. So why would I coach any other different way? And then, you know, Belichick is fired now, and yeah, the culture of players is changing, so you kind of have to adapt to all that, to the modern day NFL player, where,
yeah,
you know, they don't really respond to you being like, you know, you suck, you're going to be out of a job if you don't make this play. They'll just be like, what are you doing? So, like, the approach that Kevin O'Connell does and Mike McDaniel is more of the modern approach. And I think guys like Brian Flores and Zimmer are learning that either reluctantly or not. So why do you think Tua is still talking about this? Like, it's been almost 3 years after their departure. Like, does he have like a huge bone to pick with Brian Flores, or is he just, does he not want him to ever get a job, like a head coaching job ever again? Or,
yeah, I want to be careful in how I say this, but I'll also say it bluntly, because I'm a huge, like, mental health advocate, especially for men in sports, because I think it's just an area that doesn't really get addressed enough. It's starting to. So, without knowing the full truth or context, if he was waking up every morning being like, good morning, you're a shitty quarterback, like, you know, okay, B-Flow, what are we doing? But I do think there's a little bit of what I call the cheat code of no accountability, where he could say those first couple years of his career, well, how could I succeed? How could I develop? My own head coach hated my guts and was actively telling me I should leave and that we should get Deshaun Watson. But I really became an NFL quarterback with a chance in 2022 when Mike McDaniel came around. I don't think that's his full intent, but it is something, whether he realizes it or not, that he's kind of doing is, you know, let's eliminate what the first two-ish, because when did he get drafted? 2020. Jeez, yep. Other than Justin Jefferson, that draft was so weird to watch. It's like eliminated from my brain.
Because it was like in their living rooms.
Roger Goodell's.
Yep.
Leather chair. But realistically, like, that's basically what that does in the public eye is say, like, hey, for those 2 years, I was too busy battling it out with my coach to have any growth. Mike McDaniels comes here and all of a sudden I'm being fostered, I'm being developed. Is there some truth to that? Maybe. Yes. Do you need a coach who speaks your language? Yes. All that's true. But I think it's a little bit of a defensive mechanism, because I think, to your point, like, he could very easily say, like, yeah, you know what? We didn't click, but now I'm with somebody who I do click with and we're good. We got something going on. I think that answer would have been pretty simple and gotten his point across. But I don't know. Again, that's just speculation, because without seeing the text or knowing, being there for the dynamic, it's like, what really happened?
Yeah, like, I don't know, because there's an interesting stat that I looked up the other day where Tua starts under Flores.
Oh, I saw your tweet.
The Dolphins have a higher winning percentage with Tua starts under Flores than they do with under Mike McDaniel.
Yeah.
So the success was basically the same, but Tua's numbers are just better. And now he has a huge contract. So, you know, he probably also feels more free to speak his mind too, because he has all that money now too.
doesn't hurt. No, right.
He's not afraid of losing his job or anything. But I don't know. It's just, it's weird, because it's just like, it happened so long ago. Why do we need to keep talking about it? Like, it's weird. But my last question on this will be, do you think Brian Flores ever gets another NFL head coaching job?
Not until the league issues are resolved.
Yeah.
But again, selfishly, purely for my own enjoyment as a fan, I want him to be Kevin O'Connell's right-hand man forever. But I also know he wants to be an NFL head coach. And for that reason, I want him to get the right opportunity wherever, whenever that may be. I think it's going to be a while. I think he'll be back next year. I think this probably pushed things further as far as that timetable. But any team that doesn't see him as a valuable asset is making a mistake.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I think it might depend on how this next, if the Vikings are a top five defense, he's going to get interviews.
He'll get interviews. Yeah. And I just think that this maybe will give teams some hesitation, because remember, like, there's usually a correlation typically where teams with a new head coach are also getting a new quarterback.
Yep.
And that didn't happen with us. It happened eventually. But typically those new head coaches are taking on kind of a rebuild of a team. And do you want a guy who was accused of handling things this way coming in and being the guy to raise up your quarterback? What does that look like?
I think Flores was he was a finalist for the Cardinals head coaching job.
He was
22, which is hilarious to think about because Kyler Murray would have been his quarterback. And if he thinks like Tua drove him nuts or whatever.
Dude, Call of Duty Prestige 10 over here, dude. Man, I live in Arizona. I've seen Kyler around a few times, not doing anything crazy, but he's just, that man wants to just chill at home for the most part and play Call of Duty. He put on weight. We'll see what he does this year. He got a little thick triple C this offseason, so we'll see what he does, but interesting guy.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how things go. Like, if the Vikings have a top five defense, he's going to get interviews, but right now I still think like a team, like an established team with a solid GM would be the only one. And Flores might be picky too when it comes to like going to the next team. Yeah, because he's going to want to make sure he's not entering another Dolphin situation or another situation where he's not really, him and the GM aren't on the same page, especially looking at where he is now with the Vikings and how Kwesi and KLC collaborate.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting. Hopefully we're done with it. I don't want to talk about this again. It happened a long time ago. What's this? Just enough. But all right, the good news that I already mentioned in the beginning that Vikings fans were excited about before Tua and Brian Flores pooped all over it. The Vikings officially announced on Monday that they signed cornerback Stephon Gilmore. He is a longtime NFL quarterback drafted in 2012.
With Harry.
Multiple reports. 1 year contract worth $10 million with $7 million of it guaranteed. He's a 5-time Pro Bowler, 2-time first team All Pro. He will be 34 in September. And he's coming off a 2023 season with the Cowboys where he started 18 games, which includes one in the playoffs. And he finished with the 35th best defensive grade from PFF among qualifying cornerbacks. So, Jason, what are your thoughts on this signing, which seems pretty notable? And then, you know, what do you think it says about the Vikings and their approach to the 2024 season?
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people say, like, this proves that they're serious about contending. You know, they're not going to tank. Well, I don't think they were ever going to tank intentionally.
Right.
I don't think that was ever in the cards. I also don't know if this is that much of a needle mover. Like, technically, he's like being 35th. You're in the margin of error to be a top 32 corner. You're, you know, debatably a starter on any team or most teams, I'd say. So do I like that we signed him? Yes. Am I mad I can't keep posting the video of Jets breaking his ankles? I feel a little weird. but can't really do that. I didn't blur him out. I wasn't going to post like Favre interceptions in 2009 or 10, you know, it's just kind of, but I think he'll be good. How old was Terrence Newman when we signed him? Do you remember? He was like 36, 37, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was
a couple years older. Yeah. So I'm hoping he's a little more mobile than what Terrence was. Terrence did everything he could. I loved watching him play because you could tell he was giving it 110% of what he had left. Yeah. But I'm hoping he fits kind of that coaching role as well because Kai can still get development.
He was 37.
I knew it. I knew we were in that range somewhere.
He was 39 in his final season with the Vikings.
Kai, the corner who shall not be named, who I'll end up naming as the Caleb Evans. Any of those guys, young guys who are going to stick around, they can get value out of this. And I think that that's huge. I think hopefully Shaq comes back healthy. Man, we're really putting together a group of like some OGs. It's hilarious. And you can put Murphy in the slot. Not to spoil something we may talk about later, but I think there's maybe some young players on the team who can maybe fill into that CB4 or 5 spot. I think there's going to be some interesting decisions as far as that cornerback room to come. There has to be. But I think this is a smart move. They're going all in? No. Do I think it's a they had to field a competitive defensive backfield that was somewhat viable? Yes. Do I think this helps? 100%. I think he can have a resurgent year. He didn't have a bad year last year. Mm-hmm. But it'll be interesting. I'm very curious because like once you hit that 33, 34 age as a corner, you know, guys who are running all over the place, the regression kind of tends to get exponentially worse every year.
Yeah.
We kind of saw it with Harry. I love Harry. I'm still glad he's there. So I'm glad we have Bynum next to him and Metellus. But we'll see. We shall see.
Yes. Speaking of old, Xavier Rhodes is 34 right now. So that just tells you all you
what?
Need to know about.
That's crazy.
Right? So, yeah, I think it's a good signing because he's familiar with Flores. It's a less controversial signing than if they brought in someone like Xavier Howard, who's got his own off-field problems. I don't think Gilmore's ever been in any off-the-field issues like that.
Not so that I've seen.
Good character guy. And with the Flores familiarity, you know, it's funny because, like, this guy comes and mentions he joined the Vikings because of Flo.
And the culture.
And Van Ginkle comes over because of Flo. And Harrison Smith comes back because of Flo. And then it's like, too, it's like, but he was mean to me. No,
I was also told on Twitter that NFLPA grades and culture don't matter.
Right.
And matter. Players about being at a place where they feel valued. And
right. That's why everyone's signing with facilities. The Jaguars and Cardinals because, you know, they have great culture.
Bro. Oh, the Cardinals facility is so funny to me because it's just next to ASU and it's like a 40-minute drive from Glendale. It's insanely, ridiculously far because it's there from when they played across the street at Sun Devil. So, like, they just never moved it. It's like, what are you doing? It's insane.
Well, now
it's
now they wild. Don't have to pay. They don't have to pay for meals now, so that's good. At least not all. No,
I know that's off topic, but that's just every time I drive to Tempe. I live like 10 minutes away. I go to like In-N-Out or something, and I see like the Cardinals training facility. I'm like, what are we? What
Arizona State definitely has better facilities, right?
Oh,
I imagine they do.
Yeah.
But back to
Ohio. Ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
The Gilmore, I think, you know, there's been some chatter in the fan base or whatever, like, you know, J.J. McCarthy's out. So now the Vikings are just like try and trade all the guys on 1 year contracts and pick up draft picks for next year because they only have like 4 or 5 right now. And I think this is a move that kind of just solidifies that they're not going to do that. Like the ownership has always been one where it's like, we just want to be competitive. If that means we're going to get 7 or 8 wins, whatever. People might not like that because of draft position or whatever, but that's just how it goes. That's how it's always been with the Wolves. I think the Vikings have won less than 7 games once since 2013. So that's how it goes. They're going to try and sneak into the playoffs or win the division if they can. And plus, what is the most terrible? Like, if they win the division and they, I don't know, they make it to the divisional round of the playoffs, then J.J. McCarthy comes back to this team that's already really good.
Yeah,
so, like,
I agree.
I don't understand, like, people are like, wow, they should just tank the season and give it. No, that's not going to happen.
What,
there's more benefit of the team being good than there is them being bad.
What's the worst that happens? We host a wild card team in the first round and Sam Darnold throws it short on 4th and 8, or we make the NFC championship game and we lose 41-0 or 38-7. Like, we've been through the crapshoot, and people forget, like, we made the playoffs. No, sorry. Am I messing this up? Yeah, I think 2013 was that really bad year, no?
Yep. 2012 and then, with Peterson and Ponder.
That's such a crazy downgrade. People forget, like, you know, 2013, we had that bad year. 2 years later, we were in the playoffs. Like,
won the division.
Yeah, it's not, you're not doomed. You're not doomed for eternity in today's NFL. Right.
They won 7 games last year with 4 quarterbacks, and Justin Jefferson was out for like 7 games. So, like,
there's a large contingency after the Niners preseason game this week who are mad we didn't bring back Dobbs. And I'm like, you were not saying that against Vegas. That.
I've seen
you were not saying that after the Monday night game. Yeah. Like, chill.
I've seen some of that of people like, the Vikings made a mistake by not bringing back Dobbs. And I'm like, he's playing in the preseason. And, you know, he's getting to play his, you know, version of football, which is like street
good
ball.
For him.
And it's fun to watch him. But if he was a starting quarterback for the Niners, the same thing would happen. He would be on the bench. So Gilmore's in there. Shaq Griffin just returned to practice. So he's on track to play for week 1. So it looks like Byron Murphy might actually get to play more inside like they want. Are there any other areas on the roster you think the Vikings should use free agency to improve before the season. They it looks like they only have around 10 million after this signing in cap space.
Find the best interior offensive lineman who gets cut and just sign him. Because this whole PFF Ed Ingram debate cracked me up. Because I watched him let multiple dudes just run right past him. Like, what are we doing? and I think we'll talk about another person in a minute who I'll have to explain my thoughts on, but I think they get cut. But I think interior offensive line, if you can, I don't think somebody's out there now that you sign. Otherwise, you already would have. I think it'll be there's always some weird offensive lineman cut, maybe a backup who ends up being capable of starting. We'll see.
Yeah. And the Vikings, like the last 2 years, they make like some random trades around cut time, like they did the Jalen Reagor thing. Who did they get last year?
Jalen Reagor. I haven't thought of him since the end of the 2020.
He's on the Patriots.
Yeah, he got a touchdown. He had a return to kick for a touchdown last
year.
And, or a punt.
Him and KJ Osborne over there catching passes from Drake May.
The wide receiver one and two duo reunited.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of roster decisions for the Vikings, it's getting close. A week from today, actually. The Vikings will have to make their final roster decisions. They have their preseason game, their final one, on Saturday on the road in Philadelphia. Boo. And then they have until 3 p.m. Central next Tuesday, August 27th, to trim their roster all the way down to 53. Now, I'm sure they'll probably release some players on Sunday and Monday, but they just have to get down to 53 by Tuesday. And, you know, with that being said, I want to do a bit of rapid fire here. Just go through some names, and you just tell me, simple yes or no, if you think they're going to make the 53-man roster, all right?
All right. I like where this is going.
Okay, we're going
to
start.
Need to make sure I'm consistent here because some are going to depend on others. Okay. So hit me.
All right, we're gonna start with a good one, Lewis Cien.
Yes.
Oh. Okay.
I'm debating myself as of now, but I'm leaning
there's
yes.
There's a theory.
That's the one you Saturday's, can't do yes or no on.
Yeah, there's the theory that Saturday was a showcase game to boost his trade value from, I don't know, bottom seventh round pick to conditional sixth.
If he gets traded, it has to be before this weekend because this weekend can only hurt because there's no way you're putting him above Metellus and Bynum and Perry, right?
No.
I don't even think there's a way you're putting him above Theo Jackson in the grand scheme of things. Maybe you could, but he's still not going to play much. Right. So either he balls out and then your trade value goes up to a fourth or a fifth and you trade him in the fan base. I'm just saying, hypothetically, he has six interceptions and four pick sixes and like eight sacks.
Against the fourth string quarterback of the Eagles.
Yeah, whoever that is. But in theory, that happens and suddenly the fan base is like, your first round pick, the one we bashed you for years, finally shows promise and you trade him for a mid-rounder. Classic Kwesi. Or you keep him and he doesn't really play. Oh, you should have traded him while he had a chance. Or he does badly and now you can't trade him and now the fan base is mad. So if you're going to, you have to make that decision this like strike while the iron's hot or just accept you're going to get a hard time either way. But I think because it was Kwesi's first pick, any promise that there could be something there is going to nudge him towards trying to see it out.
And
then he has a backup
too.
Yeah. So. And he has a backup option now. I think it'd be a great gunner. He has kind of like the fallback, not backup. Of course I got him another year. Did you see how he did in the preseason? You know, so like, anyway, I know that wasn't a yes or no, but like that was so complex.
Right.
There's so many layers.
I agree. I think he makes, I don't think it was a showcase game. I think that's too much effort to put into something to try and get a.
Yeah. If you could have a showcase game for him, why wouldn't you always do that for your first round pick?
Why couldn't it be the first game? All right, moving on. Levi Drake Rodriguez, seventh round pick this year.
Emphatically, hell yes.
Yeah, yeah. He looks good. I love the aesthetic.
I love
the aesthetic of the hair out of the helmet and everything. Yeah,
sweating profusely after playing 20 snaps, his helmet, the paint being scratched off. And that.
And did you watch the mic'd up of him? He's just
he's just talking to Jefferson. He's like, who are you talking to? He's on, dude, I love that. There's a little John Randall, just big man go boom.
Yeah. You need
that. I love. Oh, yeah. We haven't had one of those in a minute.
Dwight McLaughlin, undrafted rookie cornerback.
Yes.
Yeah. Dalton Reisner or Reisner. It just depends on how you like to say it, I guess.
No.
Ooh. He's been hurt, though, right?
Yeah. You can only.
All right.
I mean, all right. he look, The best thing about him is his motor and effort. It is not his blocking at the line.
And maybe his perception that he thinks he's like a top free agent guard whenever he hits the market.
I will say this. Some playing after the ball is past the line of scrimmage, getting downfield.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen very few guys work as hard as he does at his size, and I appreciate it. I love the effort to the whistle, but he does not provide a ton of value at the point of contact.
Right. All righty. Caleb Evans, cornerback.
No.
Ooh, 2022 pick. So Sean makes a team and Caleb Evans does not.
Here we go. I think you give way more wiggle room to your first rounder.
Yeah, and I think the Gilmore signing, because I think they like Fabian Moreau. I think they like him.
Yep.
Near him, working with the ones. Jaren Hall, cornerback.
No, but practice squad.
Oh, you think they're going to try and sneak him on there?
He could build some.
What if he throws four touchdowns on Saturday, though?
I mean, look, he's capable of throwing really, really great passes. In the high pressure moments, he cannot read a defense.
Right.
Yeah, practice squad. That Packers see if there's something there.
That Packers game was not
good. I flew my family to Minnesota for that. That was my child's first in-person. He won't remember it. He was 5 months old. Bought the headphones. Oh, yeah. We got him a little Vikings onesie. It was he had a great time. He was having the time of his life.
Was that game too? Was that him doing the
Gjallarhorn? Yeah, I got to see him one last time because I didn't get to see him in Vegas. So that was
nice. All right. Well, Tristan Jackson.
Yep.
Yeah, I think so. He's been balling out in the preseason. And everyone likes him. Brian Asamoah.
Yes.
Okay. He was hurt. Apparently he was dealing with a shoulder injury, I think, all of last year. That was
I'm like 51% yes on that. That's not a solid. I'm rooting for him. He's a guy I've been really rooting hard for.
I think I've seen have spotted this guy around town, but N'Keal Harry.
Yeah, my chiropractor buddy. entirely dependent on why am I blanking on Robert the tight ends? Tanyan.
Returned to practice today, so
entirely dependent on him.
It sounds like he's going to be ready for the season. So
I wouldn't be shocked if he's still a cut.
Yeah, I think you could put N'Keal Harry on the practice squad.
Yeah, entirely dependent.
If he wants to.
If he is cut, practice squad.
Yeah. Bo Richter. Is there enough room for Bo Richter?
I don't think there is, but practice squad. If he doesn't get picked up, I don't know.
That's the thing. Sometimes you got to keep these guys on so they don't get picked up.
I think if you're considering cutting him, you don't play him this weekend and you just practice squad him. Limit any more film you put out on it. And just, we have a lot of competition. We have to see what happens in this practice squad. Don't screw him over, but he has something there. I think LDR shows a lot. It seems more ready at the position.
Yeah. Got two more. Bobby McCain, veteran safety sign this year.
No.
Yeah, if they keep seeing, I don't think they keep it. And then lastly, fan favorite, Duke Shelley.
100 million% dependent on what that final corner number is they settle on.
Okay.
I think Evans is gone before him, but I think that Duke would be the next one cut, unfortunately. His size. Yeah. I don't know how he fits into Brian's defense on a full scale.
Yeah, I think you got
level.
Let's see, Gilmore, Griffin, Murphy, you said McLaughlin. I think Fabian Moreau will make it. So probably one more.
Which I think could be Shelley.
It could be. Yeah. Or who's the guy they just traded for from the Cowboys?
Oh yeah, that guy. He's 6'4".
So I think if you're gonna go between
I can't remember his name.
And the 6'4" guy, I think you probably pick.
Yeah. I mean, the harsh reality is that all of these decisions are things 3 months ago we wouldn't have even thought about having to make. It would have been a completely different conversation.
Right. Duke Shelley was a starter like a couple of weeks ago.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah. But like the corner room, there's no right way to approach it, to be honest, because everything you had planned and set up went out the window for multiple terrible reasons. And I don't know if Duke fixes that or not. Yeah. He is undersized.
No, I think he might be someone you could sneak him on the practice squad. He could be like one of those. What do you get to do? Activate?
I think he was going to be like doing real estate or something up until he got re-signed. So like might not even be in playing shape fully. Right.
So he'll be on them. He can be on the practice squad if he wants. All right, so we're done with that. But before we get you out of here, of course, got to get your reaction to the J.J. McCarthy news. Because I like to find out how everyone reacted, because everyone's got a different perspective. Obviously, everyone is disappointed because he came out in the preseason and just looked amazing. Just gave everyone so much hope for the season and his future. But then afterwards, in typical Vikings fashion, you cannot have a fun time without being punched in the stomach. And so after his game, came out that he had, I think, O'Connell described it as, you know.
Isn't that like a senator or something?
He is. He is the Speaker of the House. I'm not talking about him. Kevin O'Connell said, you know, it's typical soreness, but we're going to run some tests, see what it is. Turns out it was a torn meniscus, and it needed a full repair. And JJ McCarthy is now out for the entire season. They could have, I saw something where they could have waited to, you know, he could have been activated at the end of the year or whatever, but they're keeping him out the whole year. He's done. Bummer for everybody who wanted to see him play this year, but it could turn out to be good. So, you know, what were your initial thoughts? McCarthy, his year's done. You find that out. And then I want you to give me a reason why this could benefit McCarthy and the Vikings in the long run.
Dude, so for context, the preseason game started as my sister-in-law's wedding was starting. Oh, so I wasn't able to watch for a little bit. My wife was in the wedding, I was not, decided to have a blowout in the middle of Catholic wedding, the mass. So I'm changing him, and I'm like, well, since I'm battling it out with an angry one-year-old, might as well put the game on just on top of the soap dispenser, you know, as you do. Uh-huh. And the highs I felt in that moment, not because of my child being an angry toddler, but until we drove to the reception of watching McCarthy play, other than the one pick, which I still think was a good throw that he learned how NFL corners react and undercut things. Good learning op, like he said. I have not felt that excited for a player in so long. So you have to start with the peaks to really understand the valley. The knee soreness, I was in full denial mode. People are like, he's going to be out for the year. And I'm like, it's just sore. They're just playing it safe. They invested a top 10 pick. Like, what? Yeah, I messaged you. I was like, what's going on? I was seeing if anyone had any idea. I was trying to be like, what's going on here? Because I'm like, they're playing it safe. It's their first top 10 quarterback ever. Like, we're going to be okay. I saw Adam Schefter do his podcast live this weekend in New York, and he was like, yeah, he was texting people Tuesday morning, people were texting him Tuesday morning being like, yeah, he's done for the year. And he texted O'Connell, and O'Connell wasn't saying anything. So I'm like, cool, glad everyone else knew. I'm bummed. I mean, Brev and I on Scotial, and I think most of the Vikes Now channel and most people I've seen have said McCarthy probably wasn't going to play for a while, considering that 8-week gauntlet. I would have liked the option to bring him back towards the end of the year if it made sense. I am glad they did the full repair.
Yep.
Because you do not want your 21-year-old quarterback going into 22 years of age with a shoddy meniscus, especially with the strengths he brings, which is improvising in the pocket. He showed it a couple times, you know, last week and a half ago, whenever the game was. Time has ceased to exist. But mobility is part of his game. You know, is he Mike Vick out there? Lamar, no, but he can improvise in the pocket. You don't want him to tweak something. So was it the right move? Yes. Do I understand why they just called it and kept him out for the year? He said on Instagram, and I think he's probably not stoked to be out for the year, which obviously makes sense. I think he was going to try to come back even with the repair, because he posted a series of pictures from him pulling up to US Bank Stadium, which was obviously a pre-scheduled agreement to do an ad.
I saw the comments.
He was walking out, and the comments were like, well, his knee seems fine to me. If you can walk, you can play. And he's like, not my call. And I'm like, oh yeah, he definitely wanted to try to come back as soon as possible. But I think it's the right move. I think when you invest that for the first time in franchise history, it's going to be the smart thing. My only concern is, you know, the big sell of Vikings got cap. Vikings got cap next offseason is how many players are going to want to sign on to what they see as an unknown.
I mean, if they give them enough
potentially,
money, and if they give them enough money, I think they'll be okay.
I think so too.
A lot of people sign this year with Sam Darnold.
But that's the only real concern that I have is, hey, we got a 22-year-old second year rookie who just had knee surgery. What's the ceiling here? I agree with you. I think most people would be like, money.
What he showed in his brief time being active, you know, from going from OTAs to training camp, makes me a lot more confident about him still being able to learn the offense and adjust everything. Like, there's so many different ways you can, get better as a quarterback without even being on the field. I think I remember Kevin O'Connell or Kirk might have even been talking about how they can do virtual reality now, and they kind of can simulate that stuff. You know, there's plenty of ways for McCarthy to get better. And he's clearly like a gym rat. He he would probably sleep at TCO if he could.
I think he will. I think he's going to sleep in the film room.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past him. But just like the quickness in which he just improved. Now, he can't go on the field and you know, fine-tune those mechanics, but like during the season, he wasn't probably really going to be able to do that anyways.
And most of what he needs to work on is reading defenses and knowing the right decision.
And he can still be in the meeting room and watch film and stuff like that.
He can still work on footwork, too, once he's healed. It's just do it lightly. And I know that was kind of the big thing, but it's not like Tim Tebow reinventing a throwing motion from scratch. You know?
No. And so, if... You know, and if there was a year for him to be out, this is the year. Like, the Vikings would rather have him be out than, you know, go out there next year and be like, oh, he's out for the year. And you're like, oh, great. Now we have Nick Mullins as our starting quarterback. So
yeah,
we're thrilled. So, because like the plan was really Sam Darnold's going to play probably, you know, until he's, you know, sucks like Tua. And then, you know, we'll figure it out from there. But I think, you know, it will benefit McCarthy in the long run. I like what I saw from him so far. I like all of his interviews. He comes off as like super mature, super well spoken, and everything.
Great leader already.
Yeah, like I don't like to do this, but already seems like a better leader than Kirk Cousins. I know it's a very small sample size.
It's different. It's different Cousins, given his age and the
Kirk
situation.
Cousins goes on the sideline. He's throws an interception. He slams his hat on. Gives him the tablet and just, you know, kind of sulks where everyone's coming off the field. JJ McCarthy's high five and everybody and everything. Whatever. Totally different quarterbacks. But all right, last question before we get out of here, because we gotta get out of here. And we haven't even seen him play in a regular season. But do you think JJ McCarthy will be the quarterback to lead the Vikings to their first ever Super Bowl win?
My heart says yes. My logical side of my brain that has been through 32 years of traumatic football experiences says no, because I'll never get that joy. But I'm going to lean towards my heart and I'm going to believe and I'm going to invest in whatever's coming and feel better about raising my son to be a Vikings fan with the belief that he'll get to see a Super Bowl.
Hopefully he'll be like a young, you know, a Patriots fan who was born in like 2000, who's like, all we do is win. We just win Super Bowls. Dude. I don't know the history of the Patriots before that.
And then when they get bad, like the Patriots are now, like they're like, who cares? Like we already did the thing. Yeah. Well, fingers crossed.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I like what I've seen from him so far. I think a lot of people have.
He has all the tools.
I think this year off will turn out to be probably a blessing in disguise. But that'll do it for today's show. Thanks again, Jason, for hopping on.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
This has been the Viking Age Podcast. You can, of course, subscribe to the show on our YouTube channel. And each episode is also available in audio format wherever you get your podcasts. So make sure also to head to thevikingage.com for the latest on everything Vikings. And also follow the site on Facebook and Twitter. But that's it for today. And until next time, this has been the Viking Age Podcast.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.